Welcome to Radio Tyneside, hospital and community radio on 93.6 FM, DAB, online and on your bedside entertainment system.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning, I'm getting ready for a brand new morning, packing my bags for a heavenly journey, I can't wait to be there, no I can't wait to be there.
Let's listen this morning to a beautiful song made famous by Louis Armstrong and written by Bob Thiele and George Weiss. It's called What a Wonderful World. The words draw our attention to this incredible world that we live in, this beautiful satellite that supports, sustains, and preserves all life. We, in turn, have been entrusted with its maintenance. Our very survival as a human race depends upon us being good stewards of it. This being our theme today.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. Learn much more than I ever knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Oh yeah, sings Louis Armstrong there. It really is a wonderful world we live in. But have we been good stewards of it? That's the question. And I think we all need to confess the truth. No, we haven't. This same recording by Louis Armstrong acted as a dramatic counterpoint in the film Good Morning Vietnam, where an innovative American DJ, Adrian Cronauer, played by Robin Williams, plays this song on the radio as bombs fall upon innocent civilians fleeing for their lives. The children look up at their parents' faces in terror and disbelief as they run. Oh, the horror of war. God's beautiful world, what a contrast. Words that Jesus once spoke to a man called Nicodemus are so true, that there are those who have preferred darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Why has there been so much destruction, so much oppression, so much greed in our world rather than love and respect for one another? What was God's original plan? Is it really, as the ancient catechism suggests, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? Or is there more to it? This next song, called Creation Sings the Father's Song by Stuart Townend, and the next parable give us a clue.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to wake the dawn, and on the course of day, till evening falls in crimson gray. His fingerprints in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning gold, he chops the eagle's flight. ageless one, times and ways, unveil the Father's plan of reconciling God and man. The second Adam walked the earth, return when Christ shall reign upon the earth. The bitter was that rage of birth pains of a coming age, when he renews the land and sky. All heaven will sing and reply with one resplendent theme, the stand and sing.
This morning I'm reading Matthew 21, verses 33 to the end, and it's the parable of the wicked tenants. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants, they beat one, killed another, and stole a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those righteous to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Why hadn't those vineyard workers just been content with their lot in life, been less aggressive and more respectful of their benefactor, the landowner? Why did they not take care of the precious vineyard which was handed to them so freely? Why weren't they better stewards of it? And we could ask, why are we not better stewards of our world? Little Boy, Little Girl is a song written by Catherine Frederickson, who is part of our group United Folk. It's a truly beautiful song with lovely words. She sings one of the verses here and is very relevant to our theme today.
Little boy, little girl,
similar tale, told long before Jesus' time, is found written by the prophet Isaiah. He tells of a vineyard owner too, who was angry at such a poor harvest of fruit. He says, "I planted the choicest vines on fertile hillside. I built hedges and walls to protect it, a watchtower, cut out a wine press for it. But when I came to look for good grapes, I found only bad fruit. What more could I have done for my vineyard?" Isaiah likens that vineyard to the world and the vineyard owner to God, who goes on to speak of his wayward people, saying, "I desired justice and fairness, and I only found bloodshed. I looked for people living with love and decency and honour, and what do I hear? Only piteous cries of distress." Then Isaiah asks a most important question. Will he reward the wicked stewards, or will he take away from them what they don't deserve? Here's a song I recorded called "Think of a World Without Any Flowers." It highlights two opposing images: a world without life, grey and colourless, and a world of abundant life and colour. Which one do we want for our children and our children's children? Here it is, with words by Dory Newport and music by Graham Westcott.
Think of a world without any flowers. Think of a world without any trees. Think of a sky.
Thank you, Lord, for flowers and trees and sunshine. We thank you.
lot through both of these vineyard parables. They demonstrate the goodness, the generosity, and the patience of God. His willingness to show endless mercy and forgiveness, but there comes a point at which he says, enough. My patience has grown thin. It certainly seems that way. For we learn also through both parables that the tenants are answerable to the landowner. In a similar way, we may be called to account for the way we have abused and destroyed so much of God's handiwork. Is not our misuse already coming back to haunt us in many forms? Are we not already paying the price for our sin? Could we not have done a little bit more for those without? Could we not have given a little bit more to those in need? Could we not have spoken up a little bit more against all manner of wrongs? I'd like to read a prayer for you from the URC prayer handbook, which a friend just recently sent me. And it says this: God of the universe, creator of all things, your loving arms encompass the earth. We shout for joy because you are our God and we are your people. Let us voice our praise and give thanks, for your goodness is beyond measure. Your mercy is everlasting. But we are confused and bewildered when we realize that so many in our world do not know of your great goodness, do not know your loving arms. Satellite pictures make it difficult to ignore the anguish of the mother with no milk for her child, of people made homeless by war, floods or disasters, children forfeited for the pleasure of tourists, their bodies abused and torn for a physical thrill, and the starving millions deprived by others' greed. We want to turn it off, blank out the pain and suffering. We've done our best, sent them our surplus, food and clothes. Suffering God, help us. Help us to share not just the crumbs, but the food from our tables, the clothes from our backs, so that in our actions others may see and know your love. Colin Wrightson, a well-known folk singer in our area, sings this lovely song called With a Little Bit More.
With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more, we could have made it all worthwhile. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. With a little bit more, we could have saved more lives. With a little bit more, so many could survive. With a little bit more, we could have turned things upside down. With a little bit more, with a little bit more. Countries of the world, don't turn your heads away. You have to face reality, no time for more delay. You read it in the papers, we hear it on the news. Suffering and the anguish they go through. With a little bit more, we could have changed the world. With a little bit more, we could have fed them all. With a little bit more.
We learn such a lot from Jesus' parables, and from this one about how very privileged we are to be existing on this beautiful planet of ours. We learn how much we take it all for granted. We learn that the world is not our own, but on loan, and that everything we do in life, be it good or bad, will have an effect on others and on future world dwellers, like ripples in a pool when a stone has been thrown in. Jesus was identifying himself as the son in this parable, who will actually be killed by the wicked tenants. He was predicting his own death here at the hands of those who opposed his teaching. But could he also be suggesting that anyone who speaks out for what is good and right in life and takes a stand against evil, as he once did, may well have to face a similar fate? I want to end with one more prayer by Carol Dixon. Father, forgive us for each time we condone injustice and hate, allow mob rule and violence to prevail, or stand idly by while those in authority go unchallenged. When we refuse to forgive, forget to bring your peace and love for all the world. For each time we do, Christ is crucified again. Amen. Our final song has this to say: let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness, that is right living, like a never-failing stream. This final song by Grim Kendrick, called O Lord, the Clouds Are Gathering, is one in which we reach out to God asking for his forgiveness and his mercy. It's a prayer for the renewal and revival of his world. And so we've run out of time this week. It's goodbye from me, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.
Oh, Lord, the clouds are gathering, the fire of judgment burns. How we have fallen. Oh, Lord, you stand appalled to see your laws of love so scorned. Life so broken. Have mercy, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us, Lord. Revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Again, let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Oh Lord, our powers are poised to flood our streets with hate and fear. We must awake. Sin would sweep away, and let let your kingdom come. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, restore us, Lord, revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Yet, O Lord, your glorious cross shall tower triumphant in this land, evil confounding through the fire. Your suffering church display the glories of the Christ, praises resounding. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, restore us, Lord, revive your church again. Let justice flow like rivers, like a never-failing stream. Have mercy, Lord, forgive us, Lord, restore us, Lord, revive your church again.